A very good afternoon, brothers in Christ. I come here today to represent the diocesan bishop to conduct this conduct this confirmation service. And there are two objectives. The first is to welcome those who will be confirmed today to be full-fledged members of this cathedral parish and, of course, our Diocese of Singapore. And the second objective is I represent the diocesan bishop to give you your first Holy Communion. And so today, I have a passage which is directly related to those who will be confirmed. But of course, other people who have been confirmed years ago may also get something out from this sermon. And the title of my sermon is In Remembrance of Me. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I want to help the confirmation candidates to understand the significance of the Holy Communion and the correct way for you to take part in it. The Holy Communion is one of the two sacraments of the Church. The other sacrament, of course, is your baptism. And they are recognized as sacraments because in both sacraments, our Lord Jesus Christ was involved. He was baptized, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. I have visited many parishes in our diocese to conduct confirmation service, and in some parishes, I had a sense of unease that some of the communicants reveal through their manner and posture that they did not fully understand the meaning and significance of the Holy Communion. I know you have a book written on baptism and confirmation. I hope you have read that book on sale here. Perhaps they forgot what they were taught many years ago. They just moved to the chancel steps, took the bread and the wine, the sacred symbols of Christ's body and his blood, and back to their seats casually and indifferently, as though they had just taken a short walk in the park. Wayne Grudem, a well-known theologian, wrote these words, I quote, "The Lord Jesus instituted two ordinances or sacraments to be observed by the Church, baptism, an ordinance that is only observed once by each person." I remember as a dean of this cathedral, some of our foreign friends from other countries, when they came, they wanted to be baptized. So I asked them, "Have you been baptized?" Said, "Yes, we have been baptized." I said, "Okay, but you have been baptized, why you want to be baptized again?" So I said, "Oh, this cathedral is so beautiful. That is not the good reason to be baptized many times. Otherwise, you live here and you see another nice cathedral and say, oh, let me baptize again. Oh, let me baptize again. It's only once." Baptism, an ordinance that is only observed once by each person as a sign of beginning of his or her Christian life. The Lord's Supper, an ordinance that is to be observed repeatedly throughout our Christian lives as a sign of continuing in fellowship with Christ. So you can see, baptism is only once. But for your Holy Communion, I pray that you will come every week to this cathedral to take part in the Holy Communion service, because it is a sign of your continuing in fellowship with Christ. I quote from Systematic Theology, page 988. The Holy Communion is known by different names, of course, in different denominations. One is the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist, which is from the Greek word thanksgiving, Eucharisto, the Lord's Table, the Mass, the Roman Catholic calls it, and the breaking of bread. So in the Diocese of Singapore, we use the term the Holy Communion and also the Eucharist. It's the same thing, all right? So this sacred service is recorded in the New Testament in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. In Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 24. And in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, the passage we heard being read just now. Let me read to you the words spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. You have your Bible, you may want to look at this passage, Matthew chapter 26, 26 to 29. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? So you can see now that when we have the Holy Communion in our church, we are actually reacting an historical event to honor and remember what our Lord Jesus Christ did and said when he instituted the Lord's Supper. It was his final gathering with his disciples over a meal before he was brought to the cross and crucified. It was a solemn and historical moment. In fact, in Luke's passage, these important words are recorded. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me, of Christ. And that is my title today of my sermon. Let me now draw your attention to the Diocese of Singapore service book, this one, which should be very familiar to all of you. Page 40, where the celebrant will say these words, I quote, "Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." When we take part in the Holy Communion, our mind should be remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Our mind should be filled with fond memory, remembering and thanking our Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for each of us in remembrance of me. The significance and importance of that Last Supper with the disciples was reinforced by not just verbal, but visual teaching. He used the bread and the wine to illustrate and reinforce what he said to the disciples. The bread was a symbol of his body, and the wine was a symbol of his blood. Our Lord Jesus Christ was foretelling his disciples that very soon his body would be broken and his blood would be shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, your sin and my sin. His redemptive sacrifice for sinful humanity. These visual objects reinforce his verbal instruction in a powerful way. Remember him, my brothers and sisters in Christ, for what he has done for all of us in the church. What then should be our appropriate response when we take part in the Holy Communion? How can we obey this command of Christ in remembrance of me? I suggest to you that a set of proclamations are already presented to us in the liturgy of our church for the Holy Communion service. Every time you respond with these words, page 41 in this book: Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We all proclaim these three powerful facts in history. I pray you say these three proclamations with deep conviction and mindful gratitude, not just making sounds with no sanctification in your heart and in your mind. I further suggest to you that this frame of guidance in remembering Christ should be adopted by us as we make our way to the Lord's table or come forward to the chancel steps. And be thankful and thoughtful. Be thankful and thoughtful of what Christ has done for you when we receive the holy sacraments. So, the first part, you can use these three proclamations to think about this important three facts as you come forward. and even as you go back to your pew. Christ has died. Remember, Christ is perfect and sinless. He obeys Father God fully and always, showing total and perfect obedience. So in his living and dying, there is saving power for us. His perfect life is credited to our account as righteousness for our sin. Christ suffered and expired on the cross for each of us, for our redemption and salvation. Now we can look forward to eternal life instead of eternal death. We must remember him. Christ has risen. Christ's resurrection is a glorious picture of our release from death row. This is now a spiritual reality for us, for all believers in Christ. We are now granted spiritual union with Christ by the love and grace of God. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is not in the grave. He has victory over Satan and sin. Our participation with Christ in his resurrection and our standing with Christ before God becomes possible because of our spiritual union in Christ Jesus. Christ has risen. We have victory over death because Christ has conquered for all people who believe and commit their life to him. We must remember him. And thirdly, Christ will come again. How beautiful these three thoughts are. How victorious we can feel as we come forward to accept the holy sacraments. This proclamation speaks to us in a very powerful way that we have this marvelous hope which will be realized when Christ comes back the second time, his second coming. This hope, which means a great certainty in the Bible, will bring about a remake and a recreation of the whole old creation. All traces of sin and death will be removed. There is no cancer and dementia, no sickness and death, no more hatred, killing and war, even trade war. All existing evil, Satan, sin and sorrow will be eliminated. The new heaven and new earth will be where God is, and all believers in God will be there with him. He will dwell with his recreated, restored, and renewed people, like you and I. Yes, Christ will come again. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters in Christ. He will come again for sure. Hallelujah. Give thanks for this future reality when you take the bread and the wine. We must remember him. The spiritual benefit. Therefore, all communicants are to examine themselves and to remember Christ before taking the bread and drinking the wine. Don't be frivolous during those few moments. You are standing on holy ground. The Apostle Paul tells us, I quote him, For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, he said, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Quoting Christ's words. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And then Paul, notice, goes on in the next verse, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. All Christians, all believers who participate in the ministry of the sacrament see it as a spiritual benefit for their faith and growth in Christ. In this sense, the Holy Communion is conceived by Christians as sacramental, something that is sacred. What is the value of the Holy Communion? Some of you may ask or may think, but not stated yet in some books. What does it actually accomplish for those who are taking part? Our answer is that actually it conveys grace to the participants or communicants. The second answer is that the Holy Communion serves to bring the participants into contact with the living Christ, who is present, who is with us. When two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. The Holy Spirit is in our midst, and Jesus Christ will be there. Spiritually, and we therefore benefit from our encounter or communion with Christ. It is the encounter which constitutes the benefit. The third answer is that the Holy Communion serves as a reminder of the truth that the Lord is spiritual, present, and available. He's there. He's there with us, like with his disciples. It is quite possible for you to take part in the Holy Communion and be unaffected and untouched by the experience because of the state of your mind, taking the whole process as just a form without its profound spiritual meaning. Just the performance without the remembrance. Just do it nonchalantly. Walk up, down, say hello to people. Hello, hello. Your mind is not with Christ. I suggest there should be a rigorous self-examination by each participant when you take part in the Holy Communion. Every individual should carefully ascertain his or her own understanding and spiritual condition. The Holy Communion will then be an occasion of recommitment of ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by giving you this contemporary illustration. Suppose Just suppose all of us drive cars. All of us drive cars. As car drivers, we need to go to a place from time to time. Can you guess what place is it? Don't you drive cars? Where must you go from time to time? Huh? Huh? Louder, please. Petrol kiosk, of course. Every car driver has to go, right, to petrol kiosk, not to the char kway teow store. You have to go to the petrol kiosk. What do? To fill up your petrol tank. All right? That is where you can top up the tank of your car, giving it the fuel power. Whether you below is going to be SO power or SPC power or Shell power or what. Now suppose there are some abnormal drivers and they just drive their cars to the petrol station but never fill up their petrol tanks. Think about it. They either use just the ATM to get some money or buy the newspaper or buy, I'm not advertising, or buy Polar's pastries. Very popular in the kiosk, you know. But never top up their petrol tanks. What do you think will happen to their cars? One day, my friends, those cars will not move. Will not move. Why? Because there is no power in their tanks. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you come to church as communicants in a holy communion service, please do yourself a good favor. Please do not waste time. Please do not forget to fill up your spiritual tank for power and service by remembering and thanking Christ for what he has done for you and through you. You receive the strength from Christ. You receive the blessing from Christ. You receive the healing from Christ. Don't waste those few precious moments. Renew by the sacraments, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be faithful disciples of Christ. Always in remembrance of him when you partake the sacraments, starting for those of you from today until you are reunited with Christ. Amen. Faithfully thanking him and remembering him. Amen.